Barry Bloom is with us as we're talking about the top 25 giant games of all time, and you say the Bobby Thompson game, and I said it will be in there.
There's no question. It not only is it maybe the best game in giant history, but it might be the best game of all time.
Okay, it may be our top two or one. It'll be in there. And we may start with that. That
and
obviously
then
is
Travis Ishikawa's got to be way up there.
That's good.
Because they won a pennant also.
Yeah. And Mel Ott, I'm waiting for you to hear from Mel Ott, and he finally tweeted in. October 7th, 1933, of course he calls himself Mel Ott. I hit a home run, and Dolph Luque tossed a winner in D.C. for us to win the World Series in Game 5. Happy for my guys and a $4,200 bonus. He's very funny. I enjoy that. Ian Cohen says, even though they lost Game 2 of the 2000 NLDS, J.T. Snow's three-run home run.
And then the Will Clark game in the 1989 playoffs.
Yeah, that was terrific. All right, This is good. Peter Witcher, loved this year's potential, but worried up the middle. Span's hip, Paddock's back, and Crawford's backup are all big concerns. And that's why you have spring training to see how they get out of here. So, and Andrea, who is the Mets fan, you know that. She likes your insights.
Andrea Malice.
Yes, you know her.
Right.
You know her by her
Andrea.
Whole name already. All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And glad to hear the Mets look good as well. The Cespedes car show.
She's my horoscope buddy.
That's correct. Don't start. we limit her to baseball. All right.
Well, you have all these rules.
New rules. All right, new rules.
Oh, and one more game, which it's an odd one you're gonna think. But the game in San Diego, the last game of the 89 season, when Will Clark and Tony Gwynn went up head-to-head to win the batting title, that's one of the most incredible games I've ever seen.
Okay.
Because I've never seen another game where two guys, and you'd have to be hard-pressed, guys go into the last day of the season going after the batting title in different parts of the country.
Yes.
But it's the only time I think it's ever happened where the two guys in the National League were on the same field for the same weekend vying for the batting title, and Gwynn got a couple of hits that day and beat him with an infield single or something on the next to the last bat.
Wow. Okay. That's what I want. Thank you for suggesting that. I want the fans to give me suggestions because that's a good one. That may make the top 25. All right, sliding at the second base on double play attempts. What is the new rule and how to change? And then we go back to Utley and all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't think it's much of a new rule. I mean, I think what it is just basically using what's already been on the books and formalizing it. That there's no more neighborhood play. There's no more. You have to have your intent has to be to go to the bag. You can't go out of the bag to try and nail a base runner. I mean, or a fielder. Base runner can't go after a fielder that's past the bag already, and try and knock him out to disrupt the double play.
Here's the key to it. It says is able and attempts to remain on the base after completion of the slide. That's not just with your fingernail. You got to be able to stay on the base here. So that's going to limit you veering out trying to get somebody.
Right. That's the point. Don't veer out and try and get somebody like Utley did.
Yeah. All right, so that's a little bit of that. What about...
It's the same play as the plate, basically.
Okay.
I mean, and you've taken basically with that rule, with what the base runner can do and the catcher can do now, I mean, you've basically taken the collision out at the plate.
Okay. All right. 30 seconds. A timer will go for 30 seconds. It'll operate during mound visits initiated by a manager or coach. It'll begin counting down when the manager or coach has exited the dugout and timeout for a mound visit has been granted by the umpire. So he gets out as soon as the umpire says, okay, you're coming out. The clock starts. Manager and coaches are encouraged to hustle to the mound so that more time is available to speak with the pitcher or the defense. Unless the manager or coach signals for a pitching change, he must leave the mound when or before the timer reaches zero. If the manager or coach has not left the mound or signaled for a pitching change by the time that the timer reaches zero, the home plate umpire shall break up the mound visit, direct the manager or coach to return to his dugout, and he will not get an Amici's pizza after the game.
Oh, man. That's tough.
How about that?
Yeah, that really is tough.
So they're going to push the manager or coach off the mound unless there's a pitching change.
I think it's interesting. More time is wasted in this. The pitching changes rules were not made for 75 changes in a game.
I know.
They were made for, you pitch 8 innings or 9 innings, and you make one pitching change.
Yeah.
You know, so somehow I would even limit the amount of times you come out to the mound.
I've said that. I've said that's a clear way of dealing with it. Look, you could do like Rogers Hornsby. You could stand on the top step of the dugout and scream at the pitcher and get him out of there. They love that. Or Connie Mack would stand up with a scorecard and make a pitching change. Or Bert Schotten, who didn't have a uniform, would do the same thing. So
I mean, you were talking about, you know, guys who've got rocks in their pants. I mean, if they can't get to the first baseline or the third baseline before they get 15 seconds out, you're going to have 3 seconds while you're on the mound. So what's the point of even coming out?
I know.
Maybe it'll start limiting.
This is discrimination against pitching coaches. Somebody brought that up the other day. I forget.
Lusset.
Great. Hey, you talked about Rob Manfred and getting people back in. The only one who didn't get back in, I guess, is Pete Rose, huh?
Well, and then there was substantial reason for that. I think that, you know, the brief, and I'm sure you read it, which, you know, Rob being a lawyer, he wrote a very detailed brief on his ruling and his meeting with Pete. And, you know, and when you get to the point where, you know, basically Pete asked for the meeting to prove to Rob that he's rehabilitated his life since he was banished, and then Rob presses him on whether or not he's still betting on baseball, and he hedges, and then later on he comes back and says, okay, I'm still betting on baseball. Yeah. So what's the point here? I mean, at that point, then Rob has no choice but to say, you know, you can do anything else around baseball, but you can't be involved in, you know, the day-to-day of the game because we're afraid you're going to still bet on the game.
Did Fox knock him off? Did they have him? I know they had him on for part of the playoffs.
No, he was on for the whole playoffs thing? And World Series. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he was on with A-Rod and a bunch of
Frank
other guys.
Frank Thomas was on there.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So what's up for you in Arizona now? MLB.com, Barry Bloom. It's a pleasure to have you here, and we love reading your stuff. What's up for you?
Well, I'll bounce around. I wind up going to every camp pretty much. So I took care of the Padres this week. I've got the Dodgers on Tuesday.
What do you think of Padres?
They're just, you know, who knows? I mean, when you go into camp and you're having an auction for your number 4 and 5 starter, I mean, yeah, it's just ridiculous. I don't get it. They started with a complete wholesale revamp of the club last year, spent some money on it. A couple of months in, you realize that they have to complete the revamp. And then they just sort of, you know, fired Bud Black with three games out and one game under 500. And, you know, the rest of the season goes in the toilet. And then, you know, Upton's gone. Kennedy's gone. Despaigne's gone. I mean, you go down the list, there are 16 new players in camp.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Last year, I thought they were going to do great, and they did lousy. So, somebody in the organization asked me about it this year, and I said, well, this year I don't think you're going to do real well, so you'll probably do fine.
Okay. That's the way baseball works. All right. Nice to have you on the show today. A pleasure to have you here. We'll have you here a lot during spring training.
That'd be great.
Yeah. We enjoy having you here. So, be well, and it's good to see you back in Arizona. And we'll catch up with you.
And I'll be back to do the Giants on Thursday.
Oh, good. Well, next weekend, don't cough in the microphone there. We have shows next Saturday and Sunday. So if you're around, we'd love to have you on here.
I'll be somewhere. I think I'm doing the A's next weekend, actually.
All right. Well, then next week. Well, we'll have you on here during the weekend.
There are phones.
Well, we catch up with you. All right. Barry Bloom, MLB.com.
Thanks, as
great,
always.
And during the season, we thank you again for being on all the time. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to come back with my last interview that I did with Jim Davenport as we do our little tribute to Jimmy, who passed away this week. So we'll have that and a comment from Philippe Lou, and maybe hear from Andrew Susak as well. All right, more coming up on KBR 680, the sports leader.